Have you ever wondered where to find monuments to Charlotte's role in the American Revolution or how local elected officials make a living? Vote for the question you'd like to answer in the next episode of the FAQ City podcast by going to WFAE.org. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. We all produce an enormous amount of trash. And as the economy grew over the years and people bought more things, as the amount of packaging grew, as people shifted away from bricks and mortar retail and to having things delivered in cardboard boxes, it became clear that taking all of that refuse to landfills was simply unsustainable. And that's why many communities, including this one, began recycling programs. And in Charlotte, every 2 weeks, homeowners wheel those big green recycling bins to the curb full of cardboard, paper, plastic, and glass bottles and other materials. And big trucks haul it off. But where does it go? What becomes of what we recycle? And are we making a difference with this shift in behavior? As we approach Earth Day, which I believe is this weekend, we take a look at that. Jeff Smithberger is director of the Solid Waste Management Land Use and Environmental Services Agency for Mecklenburg County. Welcome to the program. Good to see you.
Good morning, Mike.
Sam Perkins is back with us. He is the Catawba River Keeper, and you were out testing water this morning or something, right?
Starting at 4:30.
Lord. Both are in our Spirit Square studio, and joining us by phone is Wendy Worley, who leads the state's recycling program through the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality. She joins us from Raleigh. Good morning and welcome to you.
Good morning.
If you would like to join our conversation, you can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org. Search for WFAE on Facebook. Get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. You can also watch at least two of the guests here this morning on Facebook Live. Jeff, let me start with you. When did Charlotte first begin its recycling program with those little red bins we used to carry out?
Well, the little red bins began about 15 years ago. And in those days, it was called multi-source recycling. And different things were collected, but over time we have expanded that program to be something we call single-stream recycling. And the Charlottians here, all throughout Mecklenburg County, not just the city of Charlotte, but we have a combined system where all residents of Mecklenburg County can do the same type of recycling anywhere. So if you're in Cornelius or Davidson or Pineville or Matthews or Mint Hill, it's the same business of recycling that it is here in the city of Charlotte.
And do surrounding counties do recycling as well?
Surrounding counties do recycling. The one thing about recycling is it's generally localized, and different counties have different rules and different regulations and different requirements. Mm-hmm. And the recycled materials go to a recycling recovery facility. And really based upon the type of equipment at those recycling recovery facilities, it's really determinant about what type of materials can be recycled. Also here in Mecklenburg County, the county operates 4 full-service recycling centers. So many of the things that can't be recycled in your curbside bin can be taken to one of those 4 full-service sites.
Why? Why can't we just throw it in the bin? Because isn't that where it goes?
Well, different things go different places. And I'll give you a great example, Mike, is that if you have a microwave oven that you want recycled, mm-hmm. It can't go in that bin because the processing equipment that we have at our material recovery facility just can't handle it. Same thing is true with parts from cars, car exhausts, or even the brake calipers that are on a car. We love to recycle those things because they're metal, but because they're a different type and size than what we expect to get at the material recovery facility, the equipment is just not designed to do it. And I'll give you another great example that we've had lately. People try to do what we call wishful recycling.
Don't do the whole show in 5 minutes. We're going to talk about that.
But we've had problems with things that hurt the workers and damage the equipment. So we want to make sure that the listening public understands what they can and can't recycle.
So why do we recycle? Why did Mecklenburg County start with those bins, move to these big rollout things that come, they come pick them up every 2 weeks? Was it because we were running out of land space or landfill space? Was it because we see recycling as a way to make money? Was it altruistic because we just thought recycling is a good thing to do, let's all jump on the bandwagon? Why did we do it?
Well, I think on that one I'll click all of the above, because it really is all of the above. Excuse me. The the altruistic version, the sustainability version, the fact that, yes, we make a little money, but not a lot. But the money part, and we can talk about that later, it really floats with what's happening in the global economy. And 3 or 4 years ago, recycling was much more lucrative than it is today because markets for metals and markets for plastics have all dropped.
Hmm. Wendy, you maybe you've changed your point of view on this because of what Jeff just said, but I understand that the state views recycling as a huge economic development opportunity. If that's still the case, why is it still the case?
Well, that is true, and what Jeff mentioned is very on point. The materials that are recovered in local government recycling programs are actually become raw material for businesses in making new products. And that is the economic development piece that the state is interested in, as well as all those other check the boxes of why we do this. Is, you know, there are altruistic reasons, there are energy savings reasons. It's a fabulous raw material for those businesses that are producing new product. So it's very important that we do that. And that we understand that it doesn't just go away once it leaves our curb. It actually goes to many businesses that are reliant upon that material for their business. In North Carolina, there are over 700 North Carolina-based recycling businesses employing over 17,000 North Carolinians, and that is simply in the private sector and doesn't even include any local government employment who might be staffing a local drop-off site or the collection of the recycling cart itself, for example, in Mecklenburg County. But it is a very important part of North Carolina's economy.
Yes, 17,000 private sector jobs is what the state calls, I think, significant in terms of the number of people that are employed because we recycle.
That's exactly right. And each of those jobs and each of those businesses are dependent on the raw material that is collected all across the state. And so that is really an important piece in making sure we get high-quality material to these manufacturers, as well as reducing what Jeff mentioned, you know, some of the contaminants that might be problematic in the recycling process and the sorting process, and that would therefore increase the cost of recycling. So we want to keep that cost down and make it an efficient collection and processing process, and then keep the good material up so that we can feed those businesses with the raw material that they depend on.
So all of this material used to be considered trash or garbage. In popular parlance, we used to just throw it in the trash and put it out at the curb, and it would just go to the landfills. And evidently, you report, Jeff, that Mecklenburg County residents generated about 380,000 tons of residential trash that went to the Speedway landfill. How many landfills did we use? Because that sounds like a low number for a city this size.
Well, again, that's just the residential portion that we've calculated for that. In Mecklenburg County, there is one large landfill which is actually operated by Mecklenburg County, the Foxhole Landfill on Route 521. That landfill is a lined landfill according to new Subtitle D requirements. It meets all of the regulations for having liners and leachate collection systems. So we have one large landfill in the county, but we have chosen not to use it for municipal solid waste. The municipal solid waste goes to the Speedway Landfill, which is a owned facility by Republic Services.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's really the only MSW landfill within this area. There is some other material from businesses that goes to other landfills, but it has to pass through something called a transfer station first, where the waste material can be dumped on a floor and then put into a larger tractor-trailer truck and driven somewhere to another landfill.
So 380,000 tons for a city of our population doesn't sound like a lot of trash. Is that, would it be larger? How much larger would it be if we didn't recycle?
Oh, it would be about 80,000 tons larger, because we have roughly about 80,000 tons of recyclables that we pull from the municipal waste stream each and every year and process at our material recovery facility. And 380,000 tons is a lot of trash. If you think that the average trash truck carries around 10 tons, you know, you can do the easy math and get there, and that's, you know, 38,000 trash trucks. Wow. every year.
In that same period that we contributed 380,000 tons of trash to the landfill, I think we recycled about 76,000 tons of recyclables. Is that, and you said we could do 80, so is that because homeowners aren't doing a good job of recycling? Is it because people in apartments and condos can't recycle? Could the number, in other words, could that 380,000 tons be significantly lower if our recycling program was more robust or more people took advantage of it?
Probably so. It's very difficult. And you ask and hit upon something that's very, very on our minds these days, because, you know, we used to think of trash collection where you just wheel a bin down to a cart in front of your house. Well, there's so many residents in Mecklenburg County now that live in a multifamily environment, whether it's a condominium complex or whether it's an apartment complex. And many times recycling is available to them, but it's just not quite as easy as it would be if you just wheeled a cart to the curb.
I have to ask why not, because we have so many, we have tens of thousands of apartments going up around town right now, and those places generally don't recycle. And you have said that that's because it's not built into their design. Why not? They have trash collection built into their design. Why not?
Well, many of them do have it built in. However, it's just what I call not easy. When I moved to Charlotte,
why isn't it easy? They get rid of the trash. Why can't they recycle?
Well,
explain that to me.
I think that gets back to something that's ingrained in the residents, because it's easy to take the trash to the trash chute. And most of the apartment complexes and the high rises have recycling, but it's located elsewhere in the building. So you have to take it somewhere else. And the act of putting it in a bag, and our group in the county offers red bags that we give to apartment complex owners so that they can carry their recyclables back down to wherever they have it. But what we have found is that because of busy and hectic schedules, and I'm not trying to make excuses for people about
what I have a busy, hectic schedule, and I still find time to fill the bin up and roll it down to the curb.
You're a great advocate for us, Mike. But we're constantly trying to educate people about how in Mecklenburg County there are numerous locations that we partner with businesses, and on our website are the locations of those cans where people can bring the recycling to. It's a commercial recycling partnership program. And so at well over 80 locations throughout Mecklenburg County, as well as the large full service facilities that we have, there are ample opportunities for people to participate.
So, Wendy, I only have 30 seconds left in this segment, but is the same true all over the state? Is it more difficult for people who live in apartments and condo complexes and places like that to recycle?
It does tend to be more of a challenge, and access to easy access to recycling is one of the biggest challenges, particularly for multifamily residents. And that's because, you know, one of the reasons why so many communities with their single-family households went to the cart system, the rollout cart system for recycling.
Let me stop you there, Wendy, because I got to take a break. And also, Sam Perkins is here, the Catawba Riverkeeper. We'll get to him when we come back. Don't go away. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Hey, Charlotte Talks fans. What do you want to hear on the Charlotte Talks podcast? Fill out our quick listener survey right now on WFAE.org. Thanks.
It's Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about recycling today and where it goes, and is it making a difference? And we'll actually also get to what you can and cannot recycle? Because people always have questions about that. We're here with Jeff Smithberger, who's director of the Solid Waste Management, Land Use, and Environmental Services Division of Mecklenburg County, Wendy Worley, section chief of the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality, and Sam Perkins, the Catawba River Keeper. Wendy, I had to jump in and interrupt you in the middle of an answer. Did you want to add to that?
Well, I was just going to say that that was one of the reasons, having easy access to recycling services was one of the reasons why so many communities and the state actually encouraged communities to go to curbside cart, rollout cart systems where you had a large container that was easy to roll to the curb for recycling. But as you were pointing out, multifamily apartment complexes and condos have a little more challenges with space, and that's not always a practical method of collection. So that is a particular challenge with that community. So they do tend to be a little bit less participation in recycling services there. So we as a state, as well as are working with local communities to try to encourage that in different ways, and Mecklenburg County has done a fabulous job working towards that, but it is a process. I do have another point I'd like to make that the Recycling Partnership, which is an organization nationally, has done some studies on how much is left in the recycling bin, even in the curbside programs. And they've found that less than half of the recyclables that U.S. homes generate are being captured even in the curbside recycling program. So I just want to make the point
Let me clarify that. You're saying that people are not putting certain items that could be recycled into the bins. Is that why it's not being captured?
That's right. That's okay. Right. So, for example, some folks may not be thinking of in the bathroom that their shampoo bottles, for example, are recyclable, or some other materials. They're just not always making it in the curbside cart. Okay. So that's if we can increase our capture rate of those good materials that we have ready markets for, then we could really go a long way in improving our recovery rates all across the state.
And some of that material is not making it into the bin. It's also not making it into the trash. And we're going to talk about that with Sam Perkins,
yeah.
The Catawba River Keeper here, because we mentioned that 380,000 tons of trash go into the landfill, 76,000 tons of recyclables get taken care of in Mecklenburg County, but the Catawba River Keeper organization does occasional cleanups around rivers and the streams that feed those rivers, and you picked up 73,000, is it pounds or tons?
Pounds
of trash out of those waterways during 21 cleanups last year. How much of that material it was trash versus what could have been recycled?
I would say overwhelmingly by volume, it's cans and bottles.
All of which are recyclable.
Which are recyclable. You know, appropriately enough, the current Pepsi slogan is, this is the Pepsi for every generation. I was just sampling on Sugar Creek and found a Pepsi can from a generation ago in 1995. And, you know, if it gets lodged in a rock or in the right spot in the creek, it's going to stay there. So, yeah, we had about 1,200 volunteers last year participate in those cleanups, and that was a little more than normal, but it's interesting. The Lake Wylie River Sweep is one of the best established. It's a great group of people who are really at a focal point for trash because you have so many different populated areas coming together, and we have seen, tracking trash numbers over the years, we do see overall less trash per volunteer per year. There is still enough that gets replenished, and certainly for anyone who might paddle below where Sugar Creek comes in, which drains most of the Charlotte area, it's pretty bad. In fact, ironically, we have seen an entire recycling bin make it all the way down to Fishing Creek Lake, which is between Chester and Lancaster counties, the first lake below Sugar Creek.
The physical bin?
The bin itself with the Charlotte logo. So when you hear about people outside of Charlotte not liking Charlotte, a lot of it is the trash that comes down Sugar Creek.
So what I'm hearing you say is that although you picked up 73,000 pounds of trash just thrown along the rivers and the creek beds and the lake, the lakes, I should say, that number has been declining. But why is it there in the first place? How does that trash get there? Do people throw it out the car window? Do they throw it off their boats? Are they hiking through the woods and they just toss their trash wherever it may go? How does it get there?
Certainly, we are incredibly blessed to have great services here in Mecklenburg County for recycle and trash. Mm-hmm. And we see it in counties that don't have those resources. People find a place, and with trash, you want it out of sight, out of mind very quickly. And we still see some hot spots where people dump a lot of trash. A lot of it has built up over the years.
Let me ask you about that, because I read that you said we have a problem with dumping, which what you're telling me is that people will fill their trunk up or the back of their van, and they'll just go and they'll just take it to some secluded spot and mm-hmm. dump it. Are those secluded spots less or more accessible than where you would take it if you wanted to recycle it in Mecklenburg County or throw it in the dump at Mecklenburg County?
And that's the unfortunate thing, especially in Mecklenburg County. It would seem to be just as convenient with as many recycling and trash centers as there are. So it almost makes no sense. I mean, the typical resident can go and take even large items, and they don't need to dump it, and which frequently creates another issue where if it gets dumped on someone else's property, especially at a dead-end road, then that person becomes liable. And it's by no means their fault, but it's very quick for someone to go back up a truck, dump it, and you know they save themselves maybe only a few minutes and create a hassle in the process.
And bridge crossings are a problem. Why? People are just dumping it off the side of the bridge? What are they doing?
I think because, unfortunately, throwing it off the side of a bridge is a little more out of sight, out of mind than dumping it off the side of the road, which you talk to a lot of people. You certainly see it on the sides of roads. We're a lot better than we used to be. Creeks are a little more hidden and unfortunately still get hit. We do have a problem, actually. When we have done repeated cleanups, we typically do them spring, right about this time, and at the end of the summer. When we repeatedly do cleanups, we start to have a problem finding enough trash, especially when you get that legacy trash. So one thing we really do need people to let us know is where they see that trash build up and where we can have volunteer groups go out. And we do have a phone app, the Catawba Water Watcher app, that'll get a precise GPS coordinate and log trash and let us know where to get it at our next cleanup.
Okay. Wendy, you mentioned that Mecklenburg County does a good job of recycling. Do most all the urban communities, I would think, in the state do recycling? Do most of the smaller communities engage in recycling? And how would you compare what we're doing here to what is being done elsewhere?
Right. Well, all across the state, I would say that in North Carolina, most communities have some sort of access to recycling. The smaller communities may only have what we call convenience centers or drop-off sites for residents to take those materials. So those are perhaps a little less convenient, but they do have access to them. But Mecklenburg County, being one of the largest in the state, does have a robust program where there are multiple types of programs where people can access service for recycling. So in that sense, Mecklenburg County is definitely doing a really wonderful job in providing services as well as trying to get the word out to residents about what is appropriate to put in each recycling container.
And since your agency, the Department of Environmental Quality in the state, is responsible for environmental quality, has recycling improved that quality over the years?
Yes, I would say so. So we've seen an increase in recycling over the years since we've been tracking this data. So, for example, last year, statewide, in North Carolina local government recovery programs, there was 1.7 million tons of recyclables collected, that is an increase from approximately in the early 2000s, there was only about 1.2 million tons being recycled. So we have seen increases over time. So that's about right now we're at about a 17% recycling rate, which overall seems small, but certainly has been increasing over the years as we've seen more and more programs come online and try to divert more material.
Back in the day when almost everybody took a newspaper every day, there was a lot of newspapers thrown in those little red bins and in the roll-out recyclable bins, Jeff. Now people are migrating their reading habits to digital devices. What has that done to the recycling program?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that. It has had a profound effect on the amount of materials that we get into the program because, you know, not as many people are getting the physical paper delivered at their doorstep. They're reading it online, as you said. That translates directly back into a loss of materials that come into our facility.
And revenue.
Oh, and revenue as well. And interestingly enough, the newsprint, the we call it number 7 newsprint that comes into the material recovery facility, it's actually harder to market it these days because there's no need to have as many newspapers. And if you think about it, every community across the country, from Dallas to Amarillo to Phoenix, I mean, they all have these recycling
programs. When you get your newspaper, those people who do get newspapers, or you buy any periodical like that, is most of the paper contained in that publication recycled already? Is it the second or third or fourth time around, or is it new from the tree, pulp?
Well, it really depends upon the paper. Most newsprint does have a recycled content of about 20%. Some of the magazines don't because of the nice glossy paper that they desire. But newsprint generally through the life of it, well, you consider that the newsprint can be recycled up to 4 times before the fibers just sort of wear out and can't become, you know, newsprint worthy anymore. And then they come into things like the brown paper napkins that you may see, or the lunch bags that are brown, or the what I used to call butcher wrapping that was around things. So it can have different lives.
Last Friday, when we just talked about this program being on the air, we received a bill from an email from a guy named Bill, who identified himself as having spent 30 years in the recycling business, retiring a couple of years ago. He said, disillusioned. He concluded that curbside recycling could never make economic sense. He said he'd be ecstatic if someone could show him that the economic trend of curbside recycling has improved since he left the industry a few years ago. Any comment on that?
Well, I would say that you have to look at the total picture. If you just strictly look at curbside recycling as curbside recycling and not the fact that it goes into a landfill and you are offsetting a landfill disposal capacity issue, I would doubt if any of your listeners would like me if I said I wanted to build a new landfill in their backyard. And what recycling does is it defers the need to build landfills as quickly as we do. Now, landfills, from the day that they're built, will eventually fill up sometime. Once they fill up, then you have to find another alternative. And sometimes those alternatives are very expensive. And so if you look at the total in cost of recycling, it does end up saving communities money. But if you look at just picking it up at the curb and selling it to someone else, depending upon the commodity, it might not.
Well, go ahead, Sam.
And let me add, especially for this part of the country, that's especially critical because especially in places like South Carolina and Alabama, it's a huge issue because in the Northeast, they don't have the space for landfills. They don't have any open green space where they can do that, and they send a lot of their refuse down here. So our capacity, we need to keep as open as possible.
He asked, that email or Bill asked some very specific questions, and I don't know, you may have already answered some of them, but here are the questions. What is the volume of residential recyclables collected each year? Do we know?
Well, we have it on a tonnage basis, which is primarily how we track it.
78,000 is tons, is that what you said it was?
Correct.
Okay. What is the cost of disposal for the county at the Speedway landfill?
The cost of disposal right now is $31.50.
A ton.
Per ton.
Okay. What is the estimated increment? And there's 10 tons in a truck, right?
About.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is the estimated incremental cost to the city of collecting curbside recyclables, given that one truck collects the trash and you have to have another truck to do the recyclables?
Well, not actually. I again, I work for the county and not the city, and we have a combined system here where things that happen in the towns are the same as it happens in the city. But I retired from an organization in Virginia, mm-hmm. and I was in charge of refuse collection there. And we used the same exact trucks to pick up garbage, and then they would come back through the route, and they would collect recyclables. Right. So these days, you can use the same truck in a blended fashion, where in past days, you couldn't.
Okay. You were in Fairfax County.
I was indeed, yes.
Which is the biggest population center in metropolitan Washington.
That is correct.
And this is the biggest population center. Are there parallels?
There are surprising parallels with the amount of materials. And both of those areas had large numbers of new people moving in from various different right. areas. And it's challenging to make sure that we can get our message across to them.
So let's get to the nitty-gritty here. What exactly is recyclable? What exactly is not recyclable in Mecklenburg County, and why does it differ from jurisdiction to jurisdiction? I have all these emails over here on my left. Can you recycle plastic bottle caps? Do you have to remove them from the bottle? Are number 6 red plastic Solo cups recyclable in Mecklenburg County, etc.? So tell me.
All right.
Good luck.
Let me preface this by saying if people have questions, they can come to the county's website, which is wipeoutwaste.com, mm-hmm. and we try to answer all of those questions online for you. We also have a robust program where people can email us a question. So getting back to your original questions, the plastic bottle cap conundrum is we prefer to have the bottle caps on the bottle. And let me tell you why, is because when they come into the process that we have at the material recovery facility, we have screens that screen the material out. And generally, the screens allow small and fine products to fall through them, primarily broken glass. So what happens is if you take a bottle cap off of the bottle, while it's plastic, it will be treated as glass and go out with the glass material, where it will have to get resorted again later on. That's the same reason we ask our curbside customers, and I say curbside customers, not to put shredded paper in, because shredded paper also acts like a small piece of glass, and it flows through the screens, and the shredded paper contaminates the glass. So it's a little on the complicated side, but curbside recycling is different from other recycling. And that's why we try to preface and say curbside things are different than other things. And we can pretty much recycle many things at our full service centers, okay. but we want to make sure that curbside. Now, the red Solo cup question, unfortunately, not in our system.
Because?
It's a different type of plastic, and it's a different shape of plastic. Our sorting equipment sorts things by the size and the shape.
Okay. We're going to talk some more about what can and cannot be recycled. Actually, the shredded paper surprised me when I read that the other day. We'll come right back with more in a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about recyclables, what is, what isn't, where it goes. Is it making a difference? Wendy Worley is with us from Raleigh. She's the section chief of the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality, in charge of this part of it. Sam Perkins is the Catawba River Keeper. Jeff Smithberger is director of the Solid Waste Management, Land Use, and Environmental Services Division of Mecklenburg County. So getting back to what is and what isn't, you can now, it used to be you couldn't recycle plastic bottle caps. You can now, and you want them on the bottles. You also want the bottles and the jars and other things to be rinsed out. Why?
Well, we sell the recycled commodities, and it goes back off to be produced into new things. And if it is a mayonnaise jar and it's halfway full of mayonnaise, it makes it difficult to make it into a new jar.
But aren't you going to wash it down anyway?
No, our stuff does not get washed
down.
That's
disgusting.
And the material that comes through our plant gets combined with other like things. So if it's an aluminum can, we group the aluminum cans together. If it's a plastic bottle, we group plastic bottles together. And then those items go through a baling machine, bales everything up, and then it goes off to market.
So I'm looking at a piece of literature that you brought, a little pictorial of what we can and cannot recycle. And I'm surprised to find that those cardboard juice and milk cartons are recyclable. That I didn't know correct. That.
Yes, absolutely.
Changed my
absolutely
habit immediately. Plastic bottles, jugs, and tubs are recyclable. Flattened cardboard, and at least in the city of Charlotte, cardboard cut up into smaller squares is recyclable. Glass bottles and jars, aluminum cans, paper, junk mail, paperboard boxes are all recyclable. If food items are not recyclable, like paper plates and Dixie cups that have had fluid in them, if they are not recyclable because they used to have food in them, why are pizza boxes now recyclable?
Well, pizza boxes generally don't have as much foodstuffs on them, and they're entirely made of cardboard. And the cardboard box board that those are made of can easily be recycled.
Power cords are not recyclable.
In our system, curbside, they are not.
Again, hoses, garden hoses,
because,
not recyclable.
Because they tangle up in the separation equipment we have. If you can imagine in your mind's eye right now things that are rotating, and we have screens that rotate that are called star screens that separate materials by size. When you try to recycle what we call a tangler, which is something like a cord or a Christmas tree string of lights, mm-hmm. it wraps around our equipment and jams it up and breaks it.
Okay. So let's be clear. When we talk about what is and is not recyclable, we're talking about what is and is not recyclable in those green rollout bins.
That's correct.
The curbside.
You can
recycle it if you take it to the recycling center.
Absolutely. And we try to make the distinction of curbside recycling versus full service recycling. People can bring, and I use this carefully, almost anything to one of our full service sites. You have an electrical cord or you have some sort of a coat hanger. We have a separate metal recycling area where people can bring those things to.
Computer monitors and old TV sets are not recyclable in the bin.
In the bin, they are not, okay. But if you can bring it to us, they are.
The other big problem, Wendy, you say that plastic bags are a huge problem. Why?
That's right. But they are a tangler, just as the cords and hoses that Jeff talked about, and at the material recovery facility where they're sorting materials is the primary location where you're sorting the materials straight from the resident. And that plastic bags can also be a tangler in those screening systems that are rotating in the system. So they can be a major problem for the workers and for the safety of the equipment, operation of that equipment. At the state level, we are working. These are all common items that can contaminate a curbside recycling system, and we are working to develop some educational materials that could be used statewide. It's called our anti-contamination toolkit, and that communities can use, or even private haulers that want to get out the message to their customers about what is a problem in a curbside recycling system, tanglers and plastic bags and medical waste. All of these things should never go in the curbside recycling container, and we have those materials available so that folks can use those and try to get that message out to folks.
There was some question early on about aerosol cans, and yes, you can recycle aerosol cans in those rollout bins, but you cannot, as we've said, do automotive parts and scrap metal. You can't do food. You can't do clothing and textiles. But you can do glass bottles and jars, but not household glass, meaning what? Panes of glass and also light bulbs. You can't recycle light bulbs?
Generally not, because of the different types of light bulbs that are out there, whether they're compact fluorescents. There's just too many light bulbs. Differences that are out there. So we ask people that have light bulbs to, if you have a compact fluorescent or a light bulb that may contain mercury in it, to please bring it to one of our full service facilities where we operate household hazardous waste collection.
What about these new LED bulbs?
LED bulbs, no, unfortunately not.
Okay. And no diapers. No diapers in the recycling. No. Further complicating things, people will buy products that are marked with a recycling symbol that indicates they are being manufactured from recycled materials. That does not mean that they can then be recycled?
Well, it depends upon what type of materials they are. One of the things we have a problem with also are batteries. And people try to recycle at curbside batteries. Well, batteries can be recycled in our system, but again, not curbside. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the batteries are made out of previously recycled materials. And so we understand from the consumer standpoint that it is very confusing.
So what do you do with the batteries? Because people use a ton of batteries now, and they're every remote in the house, et cetera. What do you do with the batteries?
Well, they get taken to a battery recycling facility. There's a group called Call to Recycle that recycles batteries, and they have battery recycling facilities, whether it's large batteries like lead acid batteries or smaller carbon batteries or even the newer nickel cadmium type batteries. Right. But, you know, practically everything we have in our society today has a battery
sure.
in it.
We're going to put a list of all this stuff on our website at WFAE.org. Interestingly, worldwide, Sam, we buy 1 million plastic bottles per minute. That's unfathomable. 1 million per minute, 91% of which, I'm told, are not recyclable or are not recycled. Why? Because it's going to take 400 years for this plastic to decompose.
While we certainly have potential to do more recycling here, we have done, in a lot of ways, a very good job and flooded the market with it. And it's one reason why you see, you know, these horrible stories of fish and oceanic mammals turning up with a lot of plastic in their stomachs.
One baleen whale washed up on one of our coastline with 65 pounds of plastic. It died because it couldn't digest it.
And I think what this really serves to emphasize, and it is important, if you have something that can be recycled, you need to do it. And it can feel very overwhelming to try to figure out exactly how it should go. But remember that a lot of us grew up learning the three R's: reduce, reuse, and recycle.
Right.
And I think the reduce and reuse are two components that we are realizing when, you know, we think it'll be out of sight, you know, out of mind, it'll be handled. We're realizing that there's difficulty in doing that. It's amazing that Charlotte and the county and municipalities are able to automate this as much as they are, but there's still so many complications. The best thing to do is to not have that material to need to make
place.
A decision about in the first place.
I want to come back to that. But there's an area in the Pacific Ocean the size of Texas that is nothing but plastic bottles floating on the surface, and God knows how much below the surface. Where does that material come from? It's not from people tossing it overboard cruise ships. It's from what? Just things going down the rivers into the ocean?
Going down the rivers. East Asia is a very densely populated place. They don't have room to put landfills in the middle of Beijing, and it accumulates very potently in certain areas. Ocean currents help it very potently accumulate on islands like Midway Island. And, you know, any birds that are around there, you know, very, very much accumulate the plastic in their stomachs.
So we buy one, I'm going to say this as many times as I can because I just can't believe it. We buy 1 million plastic bottles a minute around the world, and much of it is bottled water. And you just said, Sam, that the best thing that we could do, aside from recycling, is not do things that buy things and use things that need to be recycled. You, although we supplied you with a plastic bottle of water this morning, are drinking from this refillable plastic container. Yeah, it's made out of plastic, but you can use it over and over and over and over and over again. If you put water in it, once you've paid for the plastic container, it's free, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to pay for the water. Who thought we'd ever pay for water?
Can I jump in real quick?
Yes, go ahead.
So I just want to say that all of those points are fabulous, and I want to the important part of the recycling piece after you've reduced your impact, reduced the amount you've purchased, is to make sure that the plastic bottle that you may have for convenience sake or some other reason, that make sure it gets in the right place. And if you put it in the recycling bin, plastic bottles in particular are relatively easily identifiable, so you don't have to get too confused about what to put in the bin. And in addition, North Carolina companies, there's a huge plastic recycling industry within North Carolina. And those, there are companies that are dependent on those plastic bottles for feedstock. So Unify, for example, so after a plastic bottle is recycled and curbside and sent to the processing center at Mecklenburg County, Unify is a company within North Carolina that will take that bottle and make it into flake and then to yarn that is then recycled performance fiber and then made into a whole host of branded fabric, all the way from Patagonia to Fossil, Ford, Hagar. All of these materials are made from a plastic bottle and can be, it is within the North Carolina economy that if you're feeding your that plastic bottle back into the recycling economy, then you are participating in that job creation activity.
So when you say feedstock, you're not talking about food for animals or humans. You're
no,
talking about the
no.
raw materials for things like polyester and things like that, correct?
Exactly. When we say feedstock, we mean it very broadly for any raw material that is going to be put back into the manufacturing process to make new products.
It's time for the lightning round because we have 5 minutes left. So lots of short answers to questions about this. Does most of the material that we recycle in North Carolina stay in North Carolina to be used by North Carolina manufacturers, or does it leave the state?
There's a variety. I would say a good number. I don't have the breakdown in terms of tons. Those numbers are not reported to us, but a good amount of material stays here. I want to say that only about 30%, 30 to 50% is exported outside of North Carolina. That's kind of a broad brush figure, but a lot stays within North Carolina. And the more that we can feed back into North Carolina companies, the more those businesses will grow.
China used to be a big recipient, and I think probably still is, of American recycled recycling material. But evidently, they have changed their standards because they say that our stuff is contaminated by exactly what you just said a few minutes ago, Jeff. That they'll get a bale of paper, and inside that paper, somehow a plastic bottle cap or something has slipped into the bale of paper. They consider that to be contamination, and they don't want that anymore.
That would be correct.
And we can't prevent that from happening before we ship it off to them?
Well, it's extremely difficult, and the tolerances of the contamination, we use a lot of separation equipment. But I'll give you a great example, Mike, real quickly, is that if you have a cardboard box, but then you have things like styrofoam inside the cardboard box or plastic bags mm-hmm. inside the cardboard box, the equipment can't detect that it's in there. And so when the cardboard box gets to where it's going, it is contaminated. And so the Chinese that have taken a lot of materials from the United States. Now, again, here in North Carolina, not many of our materials go to China. That's something that happens primarily from the West Coast.
So the fact that China is lessening the amount of material they take, Wendy, you say the downside of these stricter standards there is that it's keeping more recycled material in the United States. That is flooding the market and depressing prices. Is there an upside to any of this?
Yes. It's staying out of landfills still.
That's right. So there's still the environmental benefits that we are able to reap here in the States. But even when market prices are depressed, it's still an important piece of our economy. As a matter of fact, can help increase some domestic processing. So there might be even more job growth and more job investment happening domestically here in the United States as a result of that. We've already seen more interest in growing more businesses that are doing some what we call intermediate processing, that middle person processing capacity here in the Southeast in particular. And so we as a state, the state of North Carolina, is trying to encourage that activity and increase those opportunities for domestic processing of material.
So is recycling sustainable, Jeff? Do we make money, lose money, break even?
Well, it's not about the making money part of it. The sustainability part is the most critical piece of recycling. Keeping the items out of the waste stream and especially keeping them out of our rivers and our waterways.
Gene emails, why are there no recycling bins in parks or on streets downtown?
Well, there are.
Are they clearly marked? Clearly not enough.
They clearly are. And from the studio, we can walk outside on College Street, and I can show you some.
All righty. And why do we only do it once every other week, these roll-out bins?
Generally, we have done a few studies, and that is the feedback that has come back.
Always overflowing, and there's nothing in the trash.
Well, we'll bring it to one of our full-service sites.
And come join us for a cleanup with the Catawba River Keeper if you want to find the stuff that misses both bins.
And you get the last word. Sam Perkins is the Catawba River Keeper. Wendy Worley with the Department of Environmental Quality. Jeff Smithberger with the Solid Waste Management Services of Mecklenburg County. Thank you all.